And we find ourselves here on this last great day. We've been celebrating. We've been celebrating picturing the millennium. But today we find ourselves on the last great day. It's a time when everyone who has ever lived, of course, will be raised up and given their opportunity to live righteously and learn a better way. Don't worry, of the other speakers, I'm not going into the subject more than this. You know, to understand this, though, we have to realize that these people are going to need teachers and guides when they come up. And that's where we come in. This is an all-important process, and we're going to help facilitate in this. But before we get there, before we can become those who are going to be able to help others, and I know I've heard lots of people say this, and I've thought this, that, you know, think about the people that you want to help, that you've known personally in your life. You know, it raises the hairs on my arm to think about the people that I know, that I love, and that are out in the world, and we're going to be able to help those people. But there's a little bit more to that, right? You ever feel like your Christianity is a grind? Like we just have to keep trying to do the same thing over and over and over again? Does it feel defeating at times to say the same issues may be reoccurring and popping up in our lives? And what do we do during those times? You know, the path of least resistance is always calling. That path is wide. It's easy to find. Matthew 7:14 says, "Small is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And only a few find it." Look around at our group. There's only a few of us here. Considering when you look back at worldwide days, hundreds of thousands of people, tens of thousands at feast sites. But the easy path is always calling. Come down. Come on. It's easier this way. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to feel sad. It's easy to get frustrated. Maybe to feel burnt out, to get disheartened, to go through chastisement. And you can list anything you want to there as your verb. Romans 8 and verse 16 and 17 says this: "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So it's appointed that we must suffer in this life. There's no getting around it. You know, often when I was younger, I always looked for ways to avoid suffering. There's got to be a way around having to go through suffering. It's not fun. But I found that there is no way to avoid suffering. It's just something that we have to go through. Let's look at Hebrews 12 and verse 9 and 11. Hebrews 12 and beginning of verse 9. "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect." Our children learn to respect their parents, hopefully. It takes time, takes lots of effort and patience and love. Guidance. "Who corrected us and we paid them respect? Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, discipline is hard to take. It's hard to maintain. It's not easy. And it's not meant to be easy. And we have to realize that as we go along, it gets harder and harder. Now, Satan wants us to give up. He wants us to turn back. To think that the suffering that we've gone through, and maybe the suffering that we are going through or will go through, will no longer be worth it. And is it? Have we each determined that whatever things we may have to suffer in our lives, that it will be worth it in the long run? Let's notice Peter's words in 1 Peter 2, beginning of verse 13. First Peter 2 and verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. You know, we have to be able to, willing to suffer, even for doing what's right, for doing what's good. Now, that's a really hard task. Think of the last time when you suffered for doing the right thing. Now, it's not an easy thing to do. You know, when things go wrong, they seem to happen all at once. They just sometimes it's like wave after wave of things that are trying to break us down. It's easy to feel beaten. But that doesn't mean that it's time to give up. It means the opposite. It means it's time to dig in. But then we have to persist. We have to keep pushing, even when we don't want to. There's no time to stop. You know, there's no time like the present. There's no time like the present to overcome, to make a change, to do something new. You know, even if we just go through the motions when we're exhausted, we still fight that daily fight. We find the righteous path. Because this is where we belong. What we've been called to do. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11 and 12 says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Pursue. Means to go out and chase after it. You know, we're going to face things after the feast, maybe on the way home. We're going to face things through the next year. It's inevitable. But it all depends on what we take away and apply in our lives from this feast and every Sabbath that we have going forward. We were at dinner the other night, and they had a quote on the wall, and it says this: "I will prepare, and someday my chance will come." That's by Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln failed at multiple careers in his life. He went through so many setbacks, and yet he pushed on. He didn't stop because of his failures. And he became one of the greatest presidents of the United States of America, at least one of the most well-known. And the mentality that he promoted is not new. There's lots of interesting people that operate from this standpoint. preparation for a greater future is something that pulls people through the hardest times. Preparation in and of itself takes a lot of time. It takes devoted dedication and mastery of study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Brethren, we have the word of truth. We have the Bible. Each of us has one. It's an incredible gift. But if we don't study it, we don't make it a part of who we are, then we will be in danger of falling away. Rightly discerning the truth is a large part of who we actually are. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11 and 12. I did it again. I used the same scripture twice. It's all right. You can read it later. I'll let you. We have to realize that we have eternal life laid up for us now. It's there. It's ours for the reaching, for the taking, for the understanding. But there's something that'll stop us dead in our tracks. And that's making excuses. Excuses become nothing more than lies. You know, think of the things that we may tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better about going down the easier road. But are they true or false? You know, Moses, when he was called in the wilderness, he was making excuses out the wazoo for why he shouldn't be used. God had an answer for each one of those excuses. Jeremiah had excuses when he was called. "I'm too young. You can't use me. I don't want to be used." But God used him. And there's plenty of examples in the Bible about that, or about those types of situations. So what excuses do we have? Maybe we don't have time to study the Bible. Maybe we don't have the support. Maybe they don't have the things that we need. Maybe we don't know the best way. Maybe we're too old or too young. We're too busy. Or you know what? I'm just too tired at the end of the day. I just don't feel like doing my Bible study or prayer, or maybe the list can go on. But brethren, they are just excuses. We have to put in the effort. Otherwise, we'll be tempted to give up. Let's look at Hebrews 6, verse 1. Please just read 11 and 12, chapter 6 of Hebrews 11 and 12. "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who faith and patience inherit the promise." God will notice the work and the effort and the zeal and the drive with which we work. Brethren, we all have our part to play in the church of God because he has called us and put us as such. So let's take this time that we have left with this day. Let's take the time that we have in the coming year to do what we can for each other, for the church, to uphold each other so that we too will see our reward in the soon coming kingdom of God.